You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Want a happy trip down memory lane? Here you go.
Remember when you were a kid? Well, part of you still is. And that's why we make Prego.
That jingle represents one of Detroit's most iconic companies. Faygo, born on Detroit's east side more than 100 years ago, and Faygo Pop is still being bottled there. Michigan State University journalism professor Joe Grimm has written a history of the company, appropriately titled The Faygo Book. Joe Grimm, good to have you on Stateside.
Thank you so much, Cynthia.
What inspired you to write The Faygo Book?
Well, one story is I think it was because I got so thirsty writing about Coney Islands. But it could be that it's because of commercials like that that I grew up really loving Faygo.
I, too, grew up drinking it, watching those commercials. For anyone who didn't do that and might not be familiar with Faygo, it is Detroit's pop. And, Joe, isn't Faygo the reason that we call it pop and not soda?
Actually, that's not quite true. Pop had been called that for a long time before Faygo came. But Faygo has been ahead of most any other company in insisting that we call it pop. And because of that, the Detroit area calls it pop more frequently than any other part of the country.
Now, tell us about the two immigrant brothers from Russia, how they came to Detroit and then hit on the idea of, instead of baking, making soda pop.
Well, Ben and Perry Fagenson came and arrived first in Cleveland, and then the older brother, Perry, moved to Detroit. Ben stayed back in Cleveland working for his in-laws who had a pop company. Perry started baking in Detroit, and he got so sick and tired of baker's hours that he called his brother up, and they decided to get out of baking and get into pop making. And for their first flavors, they actually used frosting recipes.
I love it. What were those first Faygo flavors?
There were three: fruit punch, strawberry, which we call red pop, and grape.
That was, I know they launched the company November 4th, 1907. How long before the brothers realized that they had something that people wanted to buy and this was a product that was going to last?
Well, it didn't come right away, but by 1912, they had enough money that they were buying a truck instead of delivering everything in a horse wagon. So I think within a few years, with Detroit's population just booming, they figured it out and they started investing.
How did the growth of Faygo mirror the social and economic changes that were happening in Detroit in the early 20th century?
Well, it's interesting because the company for its entire life has stayed in a very small area on Detroit's Near East Side in what was the Jewish enclave and then became the African-American neighborhood, the only one in the city at that time. And the area was growing so quickly that Faygo grew right along with it. And as the city's population peaked and then began to decline, Faygo started thinking about how can we find more markets.
And how did they go about that?
Well, this was a real challenge because they were very loyal to their East Side neighborhood and their employees were loyal to them. And they felt that to get the land they needed to build a bigger plant, they might have to move out of the city. So this was a real struggle between loyalty and what they thought was their new destiny.
Yeah, how did it get resolved?
Well, it's kind of surprising. What happened was Mort Fagenson, who was part of the second generation of Fagensons to run the company, decided that the gas crisis was making it unwise to expand and run trucks all over the country. They said, well, we're going to stay right here. We're going to continue to bottle mostly in Detroit. They're in about 40-some states now, but they do not have big distribution centers all around the country. And as it turned out, in the 1980s, the Fagenson family sold the company to a company called TreeSweet, which, little did they know, was on its way into bankruptcy. And TreeSweet held Faygo for just 14 months before National Beverage came along and sort of rescued everything by buying the company.
I want to circle back, though, to that second generation. It's interesting.
Sure.
We see this story a lot where somehow that second generation handoff is sometimes when companies founder and fail. So what was different here with this second generation?
Well, they were very lucky that they had a pretty big group of people coming behind the founders, those brothers. And so they were able to pass the company to two brothers and a cousin, Mort, Herman, and Phil, who were veterans of World War II, decorated veterans, I might say. Mm. And after they came back from the war, they were at the right age to take over the company from Perry, the surviving brother.
It was in good, able hands.
It was in good hands, and they were ready to go.
Now, I'm interested, as you did your research, Joe Grimm, into Faygo, what have been some of the most successful and iconic Faygo flavors, and what are some of the ones that flopped?
Oh, that's a very good question. Top of most everybody's list has got to be Red Pop, of course, and it had a good push from advertising, and it's a great flavor. Rock and Rye is very popular. Faygo has won national awards for its root beer and its orange. A flavor that did not do well was a apple pop called Eve. You can't find that anywhere. And one flavor actually exploded in the bottles, and that was the pineapple orange, which unfortunately was initially made with unpasteurized pineapple juice.
Ooh, and it exploded in the bottles, so that didn't work so well.
It was a big mess. It was busting out the lights in the factory. It was banned from Dearborn. They had to drive around and pick up all this messy, these exploded bottles, and remake the pop then with pasteurized pineapple juice.
We're seeing Americans become much more aware of the health impacts of too much sugar and moving away from soda and towards water. Some places, some cities have put in sugar taxes. How is Faygo responding to those challenges?
The soft drink business is very hard, I would say. Mm. There's been problems with sweeteners, and of course those are related to all kinds of health concerns, whether it's an artificial sweetener or like a cane sugar. Pop consumption is down, and the way that Faygo has been responding is they were one of the first companies to really get into the diet business, and that helped them because they were responding in a positive way. They were able to quickly turn things around because they had chemists and scientists and flavor masters in their factory. And when cyclamates were banned, Faygo came out right away before almost anybody else with new flavors that were cyclamate free. But it's still a tough business. People are moving more and more to sparkling waters and tea and other beverages.
Is there a sense that you were able to get through all of your research as far as the long-term outlook for this iconic company?
Well, one thing that really helps Faygo these days is that National Beverage is the manufacturer of LaCroix, which owns about 20 or 25% of the sparkling water market. So that could help Faygo that it's in with another beverage that is aimed for the future.
What most surprised you as you worked on this book? What did you learn?
I was really happy to discover the loyalty that ran through the company. The first generation ran the company for 40 years, and so did the second generation. And many, many employees worked there for 30, 40, 50 years. And that was a nice surprise. And another one was the fact that the Fagansons employed a lot of African-American people because of the neighborhood they were in, and they stuck by those people even when new unions and some of their customers objected to the number of black employees they had.
Interesting. And as we see in your book, Faygo's fourth factory, the present factory, still turning out pop on Detroit's east side. What's your favorite Faygo flavor?
Oh, I have a lot, but my top flavor is Rock and Rye.
Rock and Rye, and I'm a cream soda girl.
That's a good flavor.
MSU journalism professor Joe Grimm, his new book is The Faygo Book, taking us into the iconic Detroit company that's been churning out pop for over a century. Joe, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Cynthia.
And you can learn more about the Faygo Book at events this week in Hamburg and Grosse Pointe. Just go to thefaygobook.org.